Savino, and it's time for Focus on Education. First Tuesday of each month, joined on the line by Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, and also a special guest along with Dr. Jones today, David Rabin from the United Way, Greenwich United Way. And good morning, Dr. Jones. Good morning, David. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, Tony and Tony. Nice to be on the show. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Tony Squared and David joining us this morning. All right. I guess we'll start off, Dr. Jones and David, with the Greenwich Partnership or Greenwich Public Schools Partnership with the United Way on early childhood intervention. Who wants to start out with that?
I know for me, it's a great partnership between Greenwich Public Schools and United Way, and I feel very fortunate that when I first started in Greenwich that, you know, David approached me and explained what the program was and really kind of what their vision was for early childhood intervention. And I want to turn it over to David because he's so articulate about, I think, the success that we're having with early intervention.
Well, thanks, Tony. And the partnership certainly has been terrific. And the outcomes that are coming out of this is certainly indicative of the program working. And what is the program? It's our Early Childhood Achievement Gap Solutions program that we started fundraising for like 5 years ago when I first arrived at the Greenwich United Way. It took us a couple of years to raise the money to run the program for 3 years. And here we are, and I'm going to fast forward quickly right into the data that we now have. We're entering year three right now of the program, and we have 2 years worth of data. It's a two-pronged approach. It's a birth to three program, an in-home visitation program called Parents as Teachers. We call it GPAT, Greenwich Parents as Teachers, and our partners are Family Centers, Greenwich Alliance for Education, some others that we have partnered with, because this is some, you know, to narrow an achievement gap, Tony, as you know, certainly is a huge undertaking, I would say. Is an understatement, perhaps? Yet our data is showing that it is working. So now that we have 2 years, and then the second prong of the program, because something has to happen between the time they're three and five before they get to kindergarten, because this program prepares at-risk kids for kindergarten. And when you enter kindergarten on a level playing field with your non-at-risk peers, the chance for success is multiplied exponentially. And the long-term data shows it, because this is we didn't make this program up, the two-pronged approach. The Parents as Teachers is a 35-year-old evidence-based, nationally recognized program, PAT. Folks can look it up. So we've implemented that. And then the second prong, the preschool instructional coach, is a coach who's been placed in the preschools in town where the at-risk children attend. And the data that we have from you, Tony, and Jen Lau is so exciting. So after year one, the KEI is a test that the kindergarten entrance inventory, and it's given to incoming kindergartners, I think, in September and October usually, Tony. Is that right?
That's correct.
And yes, the data we have for the 1920 and the 2021 KEI scores with the 2019-2020 KEI scores with 1 year of our preschool instructional coaching intervention, the kids who went through our program are scoring either even or just above the kids who don't go through our program for 1 year. Then the 2020-2021 KEI scores with 2 years of the preschool instructional coaching intervention, and that coach goes in there to improve the instruction of the classrooms and make recommendations. And the data I'm looking at in front of me, and I'm happy to talk about this with anybody and everybody, so give us a call, give Tony a call, give me a call. Probably me. Tony's a little busy. I think something happened recently, like school started, Tony. Didn't school start recently?
I think
you're a little busy.
Start, yes.
Anyway, after 2 years of intervention with our preschool instructional coach, the kids who went through our program are scoring significantly higher than the kids who did not go through our program. And when you make an investment like this in our future, you are helping everybody. Per the President's Council on Economic Advisors, I think in 2016 is what we cited, if you invest a dollar in a program like this, there's an $8 return. Now think about that. There's a lot of finance people listening to this show and a lot of finance people in town. If we promised you an $8 return for every dollar invested, I think they would give us every dollar they have to make that happen. Well, we're making it happen with this program. again, it's a hard process to do, to, you know, to steer an ocean liner and change the course of something like narrowing the achievement gap, for goodness sakes. But our data, after 2 years, again, entering year three right now, we are very, very high on this, and it is really working, and we're very excited to have this partnership with you, Tony.
It's likewise, and I think it's, you know, you're so right when you talk about closing the achievement gap. The earlier that we can intervene with children, which is before they start in, you know, public school, what a difference it makes, because if we can get children where they need to be entering kindergarten, then the closing the achievement gap looks very, very different for a public school system, because if children are coming into kindergarten and they either haven't had a strong preschool experience or have not had preschool at all, they're starting significantly behind those children who have been in incredibly strong preschools. And for us, we really have until second and third grade to be able to get those children where they need to be, or it becomes that much more difficult as children get older. And the data across the United States for years has shown that. So early intervention is key to the success for children.
Yes, it is. The further upstream you go, the better chance of success these kids will have. And Sunday's paper, Sunday's Greenwich Time, if I may cite that and read the headline, it says, data, colon, achievement gaps persist across race and background. Improvement among high-need students stalls during pandemic. So we were very fortunate to start this program when we did 5 years ago, because if we started this program now, we would have been much further behind the eight ball with these kids. We got out ahead of it. The Greenwich United Way was almost prescient in beginning this program when we did. Nobody saw a pandemic coming. And here it is now. And we are so fortunate that we started this and got way ahead of the curve during this time than as opposed to starting it now. And it would be like, holy smokes, it would really be hard to turn that ocean liner.
You know, I think it's to the credit of United Way also that you pressed through the pandemic, because, you know, it was easier, which we know when we look at educational institutions or educational programs across the United States, to halt a lot of those programs. And I think back into the presentation you were doing for the Board of Education and the early interventionist that was working with the parent that was doing all of their meetings virtual and did that for quite a long time. I don't know if you can talk about that experience, but you forged ahead with this program during some of the most challenging times of COVID.
Well, we did keep it going, and the in-home visits for the first prong, the birth to three, where a parent educator goes into the home and trains the parent to be the best parent they can be of these at-risk children, that certainly kept going on virtually, like you said. And we have a video that I think is on our website. You can take a look. It's about a mom with a child in that program. She's about 8 months old, and now the child, I think, is 8 months old or 9 months old. But for the first 9 months of the child's life, the parent educator had never met the child or the mother. So we decided to do a video, and that was like 8 months after the child was born. And having delivered the program virtually, the mother talks about the impact that the program has had on her and her child, and how it helped her get through postpartum depression, how it pointed her to the mother to the right services in town, because part of the program's strength is that it helps parents be advocates for themselves, which is very key. You know, the social services net in town is hard, difficult to navigate for a single parent, and the parent educators help them do that and get to the right services they need in a more efficient and quicker way. And to keep the program going the way we did during the pandemic was just a win-win for everybody. Even though it was delivered virtually, the impact it had and the words this mother uses, that even though it was delivered virtually, are really, really telling about the power of the program, because it really is supposed to be delivered in person. And when it is, the power is so much greater. But even via, you know, virtual Zooms and conference calls and meetings like that, video conference calls, the powerful impact of the program was certainly made evident by this mother's testimonial. It's pretty telling.
Yeah, I think the video is fantastic, and I would encourage people to find that on your website, because I know it just gives such a great overview of the work that's being done.
Yeah, we have about 40 families in the first prong of the program. each of the parent educators can, you know, max caseload is 20. So that's why we're at 40. We'd love to expand it someday. Then the preschool instructional coach prong of the program are in, she's in dealing with about 175 children and about 40 educators, you know, teachers, administrators, et cetera. So she's got her hands full, and we're looking to expand that and get that in that program into more preschools as well. And, you know, the more kids we touch, the better they are, the smarter they are, the more success chances are much higher entering kindergarten. They're prepped for you, Tony. They're prepped for the Greenwich Public Schools, and it just makes for a lifetime of success. The odds increase dramatically. And as I said before, you know, the research shows that helps everybody in so many different ways, so many different ways.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate to have this partnership, David, and I think it's, again, you know, early intervention is something that is just so critically important, and it's even more so, I think, even in Connecticut, because we are not a state that has, for instance, universal pre-K, where mm-hmm. in some states they do. We don't have that here. So, you know, finding children at an early age and helping intervene is critical to making sure they start kindergarten on a level playing field with other children.
Yeah, which was our promise when we launched this program 5 years ago, to get these children who are not entering kindergarten on a level playing field with their non-at-risk peers to enter kindergarten on a level playing field with their non-at-risk peers. And now that we have the data to show that, I would love to talk to anybody who's listening to give me a call. Love to talk to you about how you can get involved in the program. This program is free to the families. Okay, our fundraising is ongoing for it. As I said, we did raise funds for years 1, 2, and 3 prior to launch, and now that we're entering the year we're in, we're raising funds for years 4, 5, and 6. So we would love to keep this going, improve the lives of these families and children, and help improve the lives of everybody. It makes Greenwich a better place, period.
Absolutely.
All right, David, thanks very much. And for people that, or for anybody that wants to get involved with this, they should contact you, I guess, then?
Yeah, contact me directly, 203-869-2221, 869-2221, or my email is draben@greenwichunitedway.org, draben@greenwichunitedway.org. Do feel free to reach out. We've got a lot of cool, neat stuff going on here that I think a lot of folks in town may not be aware of that's helping them, helping the community, and helping Greenwich, maintain its quality of life and you know, being a premier place to live, work, go to school, and retire in as well, right? So start to finish, cradle to the finish.
All right, great. David, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, David.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we continue with Focus on Education. By the way, it's David Rabin, Greenwich United Way, and we'll continue with Focus on Education. Dr. Tony Jones, live here on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Thanks once again to David Rabin, Greenwich United Way, for joining Dr. Jones and I for the first segment here on Focus on Education. And Dr. Jones, As I think David mentioned in passing, school has opened. Tell us about the start of the school year and how things have gone first couple of days.
We welcomed all of our staff back and our teachers, and they have come back with a great positive energy. It was wonderful just visiting them as they were preparing to open the doors. We did open last week for our first day, and then the second day threw us a little bit of a curveball with the storm that blew through. We had quite a few challenges around Greenwich, just given the amount of rain that we took on. So we ended up having a day off and then came back on Friday. And it was a great start, lots of energy, positive start to the school year.
All right, good. So it was a day off, or day on, a day off, a day on, and they're off again today, right, for Rosh Hashanah?
They are off today, and we're back tomorrow. And the only building that we're still watching right now, we will definitely be in school, but over this short break over the weekend, they are doing repairs to about 10 classrooms at Central Middle School, which were closed as of last Friday due to the flooding and the water that came into those rooms. But we expect to have them ready to go by tomorrow, even if there's a little painting or something left in the room. But other than that, we'll be back in time tomorrow.
All right, good. And as we're talking about mask mandates, vaccine mandates, tell us what the status is.
We are still under the governor's order for a mask mandate, and that runs through the end of September. And we will just have to wait and see if he actually extends that or whether it just expires. The board did take up their board policy at the last meeting. And the board policy really is just to make sure that people understand what type of mask, is okay. What are some of the, how to actually implement the policy that the governor put forth really last year. And our policy was set to expire in the summer, this past summer, so they needed to extend the date to match the new executive order.
All right, and that runs through the end of September.
Runs to the end of September, unless, of course, it gets extended, and we'll just have to wait and see. I can never guess what the Connecticut Department of Health or governor's order is going to say. I know we've been told as of last week that they're looking at everything right now through now and the end of September, and could change any of their recommendations or requirements mandates from everything from quarantine length to wearing masks. And then, of course, the vaccine mandate, came in. I believe that was after you and I chatted last month.
Right. And that they staff have to receive, and I guess students also above the age of 12 have to receive a vaccine or at least one dose by the 27th. Is that right?
Actually, for our students, it's not a requirement yet. And I say yet just because now that Pfizer is fully authorized, I don't know. If that's coming down the pike, we haven't heard a lot about it. But we are running so high in Greenwich. Our community, for the most part, has chosen to vaccinate. And so our 12 and older are running at around 80% that have chosen to go in that direction. So it's not as pronounced of an issue here, perhaps, as it might be in another community where the community was more split, 50-50 or 60-40. But for our staff, it is a requirement. And when I say staff, it's not only teachers, it's everybody who works in the public school system. And so they are supposed to have their first dose by the 27th of September, or they must go into a weekly testing regime. And that first test result would then be submitted on the Sunday of the 26th so that they're eligible to still be in school on the 27th.
Has there been a lot of pushback about that?
I don't think so. We have had very few staff really reach out. But again, our vaccination rate in this region, in this Greenwich region, is very high. Now, I know a lot of our staff commute from other areas, but in general, Fairfield County is high. So I'm not anticipating to have large amount of staff that are opting out. Certainly, there are some health and, medical reasons, and they just work directly, through the nurse if they're in that situation. And then they will go on the weekly testing.
One of the things that you had on the website was the COVID-19 tracker. That continues this school year?
It has continued. It started up again first week of school, and it will again be posted every Tuesday and every Friday. And people really, I think, appreciated having that level of data last year. We also recently even linked out to the Department of Health site, who is keeping data on, for instance, like the vaccine information. So there's a lot of information out there for people who just want to know what the trend looks like. And during this first week, we had a few positive cases that were exposures before school started, where some students were in quarantine. But for the most part, we've started off this first week okay.
Now, can you clarify if a student is in quarantine or a staff or someone is exposure, test positive in quarantine, is a remote learning option available to them?
It's pretty confusing this year. I will say that even as recent as last evening, I was clarifying this with our union president for teachers. We can do remote learning if it is a quarantine or it is an isolation situation that is required for health or medical reasons. So if we put a student in 10th grade into quarantine, yes, they may log in and be able to see the class live. In K-5, it's just like it was last year. They work directly with their classroom teacher. They provide work. They'll have stuff in Google Classroom. 6 through 12 can still web stream in. However, if a student is just home and they have the sniffles or they just have a headache, they're expected to rest, get better, and not log in because they are not allowed to remote in, which is, again, a little tricky. But really what the state's trying to do is they found last year we had, and this is across Connecticut, so you have to realize it's a state issue, not, you know, just specifically a GPS issue. But we had students who would just choose to all of a sudden stay home for a week and remote in. And they found that there were some students who were losing ground across Connecticut because they weren't really being physically present in school. So they've tightened up on that. And right now, as of last week, I know for sure they definitely haven't loosened up because I was very concerned on from the storm that on Friday we were going to have one or two buildings, at least a grade level, where we were not going to be able to get them back in school on Friday. So I reached out to the state on Thursday, asked for clarification from the attorney at the Connecticut State Department of Education, because we were in an emergency situation because of the weather. Would they allow us to remote? And they said, absolutely not. It's we're not allowed to for snow days. We're not allowed to for any sort of emergency situation, such as that storm. The only time we're allowed to remote would be for a quarantine, isolation, when we are put in that situation under the health guidance.
All right. Speaking with Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education. We'll take a break. Come back with more after this.
At the Greens at Greenwich, they specialize in the care of persons with early to mid.
8:54 on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. I'm Tony Savino, Focus on Education with Dr. Tony Jones, Superintendent of Schools in Greenwich, for just a couple of more minutes. It's the news at the top of the hour, and then Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn at 9:02. And Dr. Jones, I know you want to talk about the upcoming Greenwich Board of Education meeting Thursday night.
We have a lot of good stuff on the agenda. Our curriculum team will be doing some presentations, and in addition to that, you know, when you look at the curriculum aspect, they've done some really great work over the summer. If you go back about a year and a half ago, a big request our parents had was getting some information on the website so that they would know what was taught at each grade level, and we started around January of 20. Getting all of our standards up on the website. You know, K-5 is where we started with the drop-down. You could see it really clearly. They have totally enhanced that again and taken it to the next level, providing that much more information for parents. So, again, getting lots of curriculum information on the web. If families haven't checked that out, they should go and take a look. And each department has a different section, and they're continuing to build that K-12. Again, trying to get as much information on the web as possible, which was a goal really going back 5-7 years ago in our strategic plan. And over the last really 2 years, we've really gone and started populating all of that. But the most recent team that worked on it this past summer, again, took it to that next level. So you'll see some of that at the board meeting and showcasing some of that. They've also tightened up the curriculum cycle. This year, we are implementing Big Ideas Math, which is a brand new math program, K-8, consistent across the district. We purchased all of the resources, the materials, the manipulatives that, you know, you really need in that K-5 area. They all got a big box of manipulatives. So that's gone really, really well. Coming back to school, they got the teachers that wanted them had a lot of the materials, at least online last spring. So if they wanted to be looking at things over the summer, so we're just excited about really where we are and a lot of the work that's going on in that department. And our next two meetings have quite a few items on there where our families will be able to see some of that work that's taking place.
All right. What's the status of the board meetings? Are they in person, virtual, hybrid, or what?
Yeah, our meetings have actually been in person since really like last spring, unless it's a meeting where, for instance, you have one item. We had a meeting, I think it might have been the mask meeting, I'm trying to remember, where it was virtual because it was pretty much one item, two items, and people were traveling and all over the place. But we've pretty much been in person. Whether or not we will stay that way probably just depends on you know, numerous different factors, you know, including COVID and how it's trending and where we are, you know, as we get into the end of September and October. Last year, there was a large spike in October, so nobody really knows what to expect this year.
All right, and then just finally, a couple minutes left with Dr. Tony Jones, Focus on Education, North Miamis Elementary School, kind of an update with the progress being made there, and also how has the first couple of days gone at the new site in Stamford?
Yeah, the work, first and foremost, the work at North Miamis main campus is going phenomenal. We are extremely delighted with the speed at which the work is taking place. We have not experienced to date some of the challenges that we have seen on other projects with materials being delayed. They've been able to get what they've needed. They're in there getting the work done. So that's very positive. We've had a great start at our Stamford campus. I think more than anything, it's just, if you ask third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers, it just feels so great to have all the students back and the teachers back, you know, together as a team. And yes, we're in two spots, but that is so much better than being in four or five. Kathleen Ramirez, who is the assistant principal we moved over to lead at the North Miamis campus, has just done a terrific job getting that site ready, working along with Angela Schmidt, the principal. But I think it's been fantastic now that we've got, we're just ready to go this year. And, you know, we're going to make the best of a challenging situation. And we're really pleased with where we are. And I cannot thank our facilities team, security team, technology team. It really was a huge effort to get that campus ready over a short window of time, to get everything set up and ready so that, you know, when we opened our doors, it felt like a Greenwich Public School.
All right, fantastic. Dr. Jones, as always, thanks for joining me on Focus on Education, and we'll talk again in October.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Same to you. That's Greenwich Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education. Thanks also to David Rabin, Greenwich United Way, who joined us first part of the segment. I'm Tony Savino. Stay tuned. We've got the news at the top of the hour, and then it's Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn on AM.